This past Tuesday's election day saw two Republican candidates for governor in New Jersey and Virginia go down to defeat. Democrats also had lower race gains in Virginia. This has been called by the media a rebuke of Trumpism. Joining us now to review these elections and whether that statement is accurate is National Review and the Federalist contributor, Julie Kelly. How are you today, Julie?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
And you can read Julie's works at both nationalreview.com and thefederalist.com. Let's start in New Jersey, since obviously that's where we're sitting right now. And the idea that Phil Murphy, the Democrat, beating Kim Guadagno, the lieutenant governor Republican, was a rebuking of Trumpism doesn't really hold water because, well, first, Trump didn't win New Jersey by any stretch of the imagination, and Guadagno was tied to Chris Christie, which you might as well be, you know, tied to a pile of horse manure. And you'll be just as popular. So what chance? She had no shot at winning in New Jersey. So the whole idea of this was some sort of barometer of Trumpism, that doesn't really work out too good.
It doesn't. I actually laughed the other day at a headline about big Democratic wins in New Jersey and Washington, meaning the state of Washington, you know, somehow portended ill for Trump. And I laughed because, of course, those are two blue, very blue states. And so I don't think that resonated as much the New Jersey race and some of the other races as the Virginia one did. So I don't think anyone expected the Republican to win in New Jersey. So didn't seem like much of a shock or tied to Trump at all.
No, I mean, Guadagno couldn't even connect with women voters. She was trailing behind Murphy, even in that demographic. So she was just a poor candidate for whatever reason. I guess it was a little more dignified than having an empty space on the ballot. But other than that, that was the only thing she accomplished. But
it's too bad that the Republican Party doesn't do a better job cultivating solid candidates in some of these states and making them more competitive. I think that's been a long time deficiency with the national party at large.
And certainly in New Jersey, what's that saying about insanity, doing the same thing twice and expecting different results? What happened last time we had a rich Wall Street individual with no government experience be governor of New Jersey? That didn't work out too well.
That's true. And look, you know, I'm outside of Chicago. I'm in Illinois, very blue state as well. But we elected a Republican governor a few years ago. He's back up for reelection next year. So it can be done. I'm not sure what his election his luck at being reelected next year is, but you know, to your point, they can find some good candidates to have Republicans win.
Now, in Virginia, that was surprising in a couple of ways. The polls up until Election Day had this toss-up by the various people who checked this stuff out. And as far as Gillespie, the Republican, he really didn't embrace President Trump. I mean, there was some token support for Trump, mainly because Gillespie was a Republican, but as far as any ties to Trump, they really weren't there. Was it a rebuke of Trumpism, or did the Democrat Northam just do more right than Gillespie did in the race?
My opinion is that Trump definitely was the key factor in driving Democratic turnout in the election. I think it was plus 10 as far as Democrat turnout versus Republican. So he definitely was the key factor in getting Democrats to the polls. And I do think what's depressing Republican turnout is inaction by Congress, mostly, not necessarily President Trump, but inaction by Congress on tax reform, health care reform, immigration reform, the issues that Trump voters mostly care about. And the Republicans just look like a clown show. I mean, they cannot get their act together. So hopefully they got that message. I think we're seeing this week a tax plan actually come together. So hopefully they can get an early win on tax reform. But look, I don't think you can deny the fact that Trump helped get Democrats to the polls.
Oh, no doubt.
And it was a rebuke of him for sure.
Oh, no doubt about that through that degree. But if you look at, there was a poll that just came out toward the tail end of this week where a majority of the voters who voted for Trump would vote for him again.
For sure.
And so does the Gillespie loss maybe more so factor in the disgust of the party versus any problem with the president on the Republican side of the matter?
I just don't know that you could make a connection between Gillespie and Trump. It just seems really far-fetched. I just think you can't go against that tidal wave of turnout. You're also looking at Virginia. I mean, they are part of the swamp. Those suburbs outside of Washington, D.C., almost everyone who lives there has some connection to the federal government. They want the status quo. They want the bureaucracy in place. They're very disillusioned to see even establishment Republicans, to see the dismantling of regulations, to see some of these federal agencies like the EPA being disassembled. They like it as is. And so, everyone's going to vote in their own self-interest, and that's certainly what happened there. I think the down ballot races, the House of Delegates, was a little surprising. I think that the Democrats put a lot of money and time getting those wins. The House didn't turn over, but it certainly is close. But what I've read is that they were close districts anyway that flipped due to the turnout. And there were, I believe, 54 House of Delegates seats up that were Republican, and I think they ended up flipping 12 or 13 of them. So it's not like every single one turned Democrat. But it should be a harsh signal to Republicans nationwide, and especially those in Congress. You know, get something done. That's what we want. And hopefully they're getting that message.
Yeah, it does look like Virginia is slipping more and more blue. More women, mm-hmm. A good number of women won, which I really don't care which party does that. That's a good thing, quite frankly. Whether or not you agree with their stands. And there was a transgender candidate that won down in Virginia, too, one of the delegate seats, which shows a sign of the times, too. We're talking with Julie Kelly, who is a contributor of National Review and The Federalist, nationalreview.com, thefederalist.com. You can see Julie's work, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as the Republicans in Washington, D.C. right now, and you mentioned, too, if they fail on tax reform, is the GOP DOA?
I think so. I mean, I don't see how they regroup if they can't get a pretty simple tax reform package passed. What left do they have to run on? There's certainly no appetite to address immigration. There would be no agreement on that. They failed to bring about any reform to Obamacare, which is failing on its own. If they can't do something as basic, you know, fundamental principle of the Republican Party, which is simplifying the tax code, lowering rates that will foster economic growth, then they should pay the price. But, you know, what's unfortunate is you're going to have this wing, the Never Trumpers, which I write about a lot, alleged conservatives, who are going to blame that on Trump. And I just don't see how that's possible when you see absent Republicans like John McCain, who have a personal vendetta against the president, are going to take it out on his legislation. And, that's really unfortunate. But how that's Trump's fault or problem, I don't see that, and I don't think Republican voters will see it that way either.
It certainly
doesn't. The only people more unpopular than Donald Trump is pretty much everyone else in Washington.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the voters, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell couldn't, there's nowhere to go but up in the polls for popularity of those two. And with Mitch McConnell, I mean, for him to come out a few weeks ago and say that President Trump has to understand that things take time in Washington.
Mm-mm.
Well, you guys have had 7 years.
Yeah, they don't have time. And, you know, that is exactly the kind of message that Trump voters don't want to hear. That's why people like me who voted for Trump and a lot of my friends voted, because they were disgusted and disillusioned with Republicans even more so than Democrats. So to see this kind of reinforced and to have this kind of weak leadership by Mitch McConnell, I think Paul Ryan is really giving it a shot. He's got a much harder time because he's got quite a diverse caucus and people who are up for re-election every 2 years, unlike McConnell. And so it just really defies any explaining. They really need to get this done. And I think that the backlash will be against Republicans in Congress. People will just sit home. And then the Democrats will have a really good shot at picking up a lot of seats next year.
And some actually theorize, with Trump being a business person, to get what he wants, he'll negotiate and might find more negotiating possibilities with the Democrats than he's been finding with the Republicans these days.
Hopefully, yes. I mean, he could, and he would do it, I think, out of spite. too, because let's not overlook the fact that as far as a businessman, he also likes to dig at whoever his enemies are
betrayed him.
So there is that kind of pettiness about his approach. But even a small win right now, you know, they don't have to totally overhaul the tax code. They don't have to go to some flat tax, you know, the old postcard tax return. But they need something. And this is something Republicans have never understood. The optics and visuals of getting something done, then maybe revisit something big next year before the election. They just don't... They always seem to fall down on some kind of strategy, and that's what's really frustrating to watch.
She is a regular contributor for National Review and The Federalist, nationalreview.com, thefederalist.com. Julie Kelly, thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great weekend.